Welcome to the Manda Hadley podcast, where today we're talking about a rather taboo subject of what happens when someone dies. Now, preparing for old age and inevitably death is something we don't particularly like to talk about, but it's important to have that conversation. So amidst the emotional and practical considerations when a loved one dies, there are a range of legal and financial considerations, which is what we want to talk about today. Talking about death and dying has become a taboo, as I said earlier, and many of us find that we have little idea what to do following the death of a loved one. Naturally, few of us enjoy thinking about our own mortality, meaning that as much as half the population doesn't even have a valid will in place, leaving them with no control where their wealth and assets go after they die. And it can create significant headaches for loved ones that are left behind. So in this podcast today, I'm joined by Rachel Blackburn, who's Head of Wills, Probate and Older Client Services here at Manda Hadley. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you.
So let's start off by going through a kind of step-by-step process, if we can, Rachel, on the legal and financial processes that people need to go through following the death of a loved one.
Okay, so that's kind of called the estate administration of someone's estate when they've passed away. And like you said, it's the legal, financial and personal affairs of them ultimately that you have to deal with. So all of them have different aspects that you have to kind of do. But a brief overview would be identifying what assets and liabilities that they have, then obtaining probate if needed, not all assets needed, but if it is needed, then obtaining that. Then distributing the estate in accordance with the deceased will, or if they haven't got one, through the rules of intestacy.
Okay, and in your experience, Rachel, what sort of challenges can arise in this process and how can they be overcome?
So the biggest, I would say there's two biggest difficulties that we have. The first one is either not being able to find a will or not knowing if a client has made one. So you've got to establish that first, because that can very much change the dealing with the estate and the distribution of it. And secondly, is not really knowing what assets a loved one might have. And I know, you know, some people, money's always a taboo subject and people don't like talking about it. And often people will say, actually, I don't know what mum and dad had or what my daughter had. And that can then lead to a long period of trying to establish what maybe bank accounts or investments or sometimes properties people had that they weren't aware of. So to kind of negate that difficulty, we will often say to clients when we're drafting a will, we'll always go through their assets with them. But we'll also say it's always a bit helpful to either keep your paperwork in order at home, so, you know, family can help find it easily when the time comes to deal with the estate, or sometimes they'll write a list of assets for us and they'll say, oh, I've got bank accounts here, this is their account numbers, you know, my mortgage is with whatever provider, I've got some rental properties, these are the addresses. And then that's such a good starting point from when coming to deal with the estate administration, because then you've got a much better idea of what's involved in it.
And presumably the intestacy rules can lead to problems here when there's no will in place at all.
Yeah, hugely. Especially if there's, you know, estranged family involved, or if there's been divorces or marriages, that can also be quite difficult. So establishing a correct family tree is also vital if there is no will in place, to one, ensure that the correct person is dealing with the administration of the estate, and two, to ensure that the correct beneficiaries are also receiving it. And I know that there's also a reluctance to sometimes provide information if there's been difficulties within family relationships. But certainly the laws of intestacy are very clear. And even if a child, for example, has been estranged for a long period of time from a family, under the intestacy rules, they'd still be entitled to inherit. So establishing who the correct beneficiaries are and the administrators of the estate is key. And certainly if you get into difficulties with that, or certainly family disagreements, definitely getting a legal professional involved is very much advisable.
So with that in mind, I guess some people are nervous about preparing a will. They think it's particularly complicated if they're doing it for the first time. Some people can forget there's a will in place and the sort of requirement to update it. Just how complicated is that, Rachel, in reality?
In reality, making a will is fairly straightforward, especially if you're doing it through a solicitor's. That's what their job is to do. So they make it as straightforward as possible. They'll discuss your family circumstances, they'll discuss your estate and what's within it, and then go through what you want to achieve. So it's all guided by them as to what they would want, but the legal professional will always guide them through it and ask the correct questions to ensure everything's covered. And certainly, if there are testing family relationships, or people they perhaps don't want to leave things to, because that's now a big part of will drafting that we're undertaking, is not necessarily including everybody within the family and providing advice on that. A legal professional can then provide you with the relevant advice in relation to potentially leaving someone out of a will, or providing differing distributions as well, depending on people's circumstances. So it might seem daunting for a client, but it's definitely fairly straightforward once you're asking the advice of the correct person.
And with that in mind, what circumstances would I mean, some are quite obvious circumstances to push somebody into amending their will, a divorce or remarrying and so on. But are there other nuances that people might want to consider there? And is there anything particularly that would render a will invalid?
In terms of why people would make them, like you say, divorce or marriage, change in family relationships, also change in financial circumstances. We would also always encourage people to review their wills. So if they either came into money or they lost a lot of money for whatever reason, just to ensure that it's working and still doing exactly what they wanted to do. What was the second part of the question? Sorry, Joe.
What would re render a will invalid?
Okay, so rendering a will invalid, a number of things. So it could be that it's not executed properly, so it's not signed properly. That could render it invalid. Also, if the person making the will didn't have the relevant mental capacity at the time and were not capable of making one, that could render it invalid. Also, if there was undue influence from a family member, or they were, kind of coerced into making it and it wasn't what they wanted, that could also render it invalid. And also, getting married can render your will invalid. So unless you've got specific clauses in your will in relation to a marriage, once you get married, your will is then revoked. So you could technically be intestate in the marriage of someone. So they're the main ones. There's a couple of other little bits here and there, but they're the main ones that come across all the time.
So again, as a guide, really, and rule of thumb, how often should you review your will once you've made it?
So I would say generally, if things don't change too much, I would maybe review it every 5 years, just to make, children grow up and more family come along. So just to make sure, it might not be that you need to change it, but certainly reviewing it and make sure and it's doing what you want to do. If things do change, so you do get divorced, you do get married, you perhaps have children, grandchildren, all your financial circumstances change, then at that point, even if it's not been 5 years, I would look at reviewing your will and just making sure it's doing what you want to.
Okay, and final question, really, Rachel. I know people can be tempted to go down the road of, DIY probate and DIY wills. There's a lot of the sort of this stuff that you can now do online. What's your view on the dangers around that?
So there's quite a few, really. The biggest one is expertise and knowledge. Solicitors are experts in their field. That's what they're trained to do. That's what their job is. So if you try and do it yourself, you can really get into some tangles, really. I'm not necessarily understanding the law, not understanding the procedures as well. So, you know, instructing a solicitor can definitely help you navigate through those, which can also save you a lot of time and stress. You know, when someone's passed away, it's a highly emotional time and people are grieving. And it can be a lot to navigate when you've got those emotions involved. So actually sometimes taking yourself out of it and letting a legal professional deal with it for you can really be beneficial. And often they're more efficient because they know what they're doing and know the procedures and practices. Most of the time they can obtain probate quickly for you, or quicker than you can yourself, because they know which forms to fill in, they know, you know, where they've got to file it with the court and so forth. So that can also save a lot of time. And we've touched on the possible issues that you can have and the legal challenges that you can have if there's a will and if there isn't a will. So if you're not necessarily fully aware of the law, you can potentially not administer the estate correctly, which can have legal consequences. So using a solicitor to deal with the estate administration can mitigate those risks and ensure that it is carried out properly, and that you don't have, you know, the liability of an incorrect distribution as an executor, which can cost, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds, depending on the estate and what its value is, which you can be personally liable for as an executor, which a lot of people don't understand. So using a solicitor can mitigate those. And also just the stress-free of it. I mentioned it before, you know, you can hand it over to someone and know that it's done. And, you know, instead of having to deal with mountains of paperwork and worry that you're doing it correct, you know, they'll do it for you. And whilst it does cost money, if you complete an error or get in a tangle yourselves, it can often cost more money to untangle that mess than having someone deal with it from the start. So, you know, all round, it's generally a better experience and less worry for you while you're grieving through a difficult time.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Rachel. Well, thanks for joining me today. And for anybody listening, if you want more information on wills, probate or our older client services, then you can visit mandahadley.co.uk and get more information. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast using your usual podcasting service and join us again for our next edition shortly. Again, thanks very much, Rachel.
Thank you. No problem.